I will make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. We've come from the ends of the earth. This is Cape Town. That's pretty much at the outer edge of Africa. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. Our Creator and our Redeemer, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the Eternal Judge, is the God of all the earth. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. The whole earth is full of His glory. It is the earnest prayer of all believers, be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory over all the earth. Our Lord Jesus taught His disciples to pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Lord's word is to be proclaimed to the ends of the world. The heavens declare the glory of God. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out throughout the earth and their words to the very ends of the earth. By ship, by aircraft, by vehicle, by foot, by radio broadcasts, through literature, the word of God has been proclaimed to the ends of the earth. The Lord Jesus promised His disciples, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And that is what has happened. Before His ascension, our Lord Jesus declared, But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Apostle Paul declared that their words had indeed gone out to the end of the world. The blessings of Abraham are seen, even the stones cry out, in this magnificent buildings and cathedrals and chapels, not only over these islands, but to the very ends of the earth. The blessings of Abraham are seen, even the stones cry out. It is the most inspiring drama imaginable, how God has led and guided and protected the children of Abraham from the fiery pillar by night and the cloudy pillar by day, through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, how God has spoken to and how God has spoken through the descendants of Abraham, how God has guided His people, made them into a great nation, blessed them, made their name great, and made them a blessing to all the families of the earth. Since Abraham shall surely become a great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Time and again this is repeated. It's a refrain throughout the scriptures. The angel of the Lord declared to Abraham, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Indeed, history testifies that God has blessed and multiplied the descendants of Abraham, and they more than any other have possessed the gates of their enemies. And history is replete with examples of how indeed Isaac's sons have done just this. In the history of the church, it is clear that all nations of the earth have been blessed by the faithful children of Abraham who have proclaimed God's word to the very ends of the world. It started with the apostles of Christ. Paul was the first to proclaim the gospel in Europe. John Mark established the church in Egypt. To this day, there are still millions upon millions of people in Egypt, Coptic Christians, who are standing firm for the faith, despite 14 centuries of Islamic persecution. Matthew proclaimed the gospel in Ethiopia. Thomas established churches throughout Babylonia and India. Nathaniel preached the gospel in India and Armenia. Philip proclaimed the gospel throughout Gaul and Asia Minor. Simon the Zealot preached the word of God throughout Syria, Mesopotamia, what is today Iraq, and Persia. Andrew proclaimed the gospel throughout Greece and all the way to Scotland. The church has been called and commissioned. What if we can get some of the top lights off? I think that might get better. See, some are trying to focus more. God's people have been called and commissioned. Almighty God restated His divine call and commission to Abraham's son Isaac. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes and my laws. Throughout the centuries, Isaac's sons have faithfully contended for the faith, preserved God's word, translated God's word, reformed the church, and proclaimed God's word to the ends of the world. Patrick is one example of a great and faithful child of Abraham, missionary to Ireland. In the 5th century, Patrick succeeded in establishing over 300 congregations and baptizing 120,000 people in Ireland. It was a privilege when we were recently in Northern Ireland to actually go to Downpatrick and to Patrick's grave and to the birthplace of Christianity in Northern Ireland, and Ulster's full of the fruit of his magnificent labors, taken as a slave to Ireland, escaped, went back to Ireland with the gospel. Columba, missionary to Scotland. In the 6th century, Columba and his missionaries mobilized the effective evangelization of Scotland from their mission base at Iona. Columba and his men undertook missionary outreaches as far afield as France, Germany, Switzerland, and Italy. Boniface, the apostle to the Germans. In the 8th century, Boniface left Wessex to labor as a missionary to the Germans. Through his bold and his courageous and his persistent labors, Boniface succeeded in bringing to Christ multitudes in Frisia and Thuringia and Hesse. Boniface was undoubtedly one of the most successful missionaries of the first millennium. He not only converted multitudes of individuals, but he discipled an entire nation. In a dramatic confrontation with the pagans of Hesse, Boniface chopped down the sacred oak of Donar in Geismar. The huge oak was a shrine to the pagan god Thor. Boniface used the wood from this felled oak to build a chapel in Fritzlar. And Boniface destroyed idols. He baptized heathen. He established churches and mission centers. And he opposed the corrupt and the immoral clerics. He decisively dealt with heresy. And he worked tirelessly to reform the church. He established a vast network of schools and mission stations. Boniface declared, "Let us die for the holy laws of our fathers. Let us not be dumb dogs, silent spectators, hirelings who flee from the wolf, but faithful shepherds, watchful for the flock of Christ. Let us preach the whole counsel of God to the high and to the low, to the rich and to the poor, to every rank and age, whether in season or out of season, as far as God gives us strength." Boniface hungered and he thirsted for the Pentecostal power of the Holy Spirit. He disciplined his life to faithfully follow the example and the teachings of Christ. And he eagerly embraced the suffering that comes from preaching and living the gospel. Another great example of the faithful who have taken God's word to the ends of the earth is King Alfred in his fight for faith and freedom. And that's why we started with this battle hymn this evening. King Alfred the Great of Wessex lived through tumultuous times and is recognized as one of the most intelligent, one of the most devout, industrious, and effective of all medieval monarchs. Alfred was soldier and scholar, lawmaker and educator, author and reformer. For most of Alfred's 30 years' reign, he was a soldier king, leading his people in a desperate war for survival against great odds. As the Danish Vikings, who had terrorized all of Europe, overwhelmed most of the British Isles. Alfred personally commanded in 54 pitched battles in just the first 5 months of 870 AD. Alfred fought 9 pitched battles against the Danes. Can you think of another king with a similar record as that? As Winston Churchill commented on the strategic victory of Alfred at the Battle of Ashdown in 874, "If the West Saxons had been beaten, all England would have sunk into heathen anarchy. Since they were victorious, the hope still burned for a civilized Christian existence in this island." There was so much at stake. To beat these sea-faring Danes, Alfred contracted Frisian seamen to build a fleet superior to any that had previously been seen. And for this reason, Winston Churchill calls him, and it's very just, that King Alfred is the father of the English Navy, and in so many ways he really was. And here we see him with some of the Frisian contractors helping to build ships that would beat the Vikings on their own ground. King Alfred is also famous for the common law. King Alfred was determined to build this nation upon the law of God. The dooms of King Alfred began with the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the house of bondage out of Egypt. You are to have no other gods before me. And line by line, it's the Ten Commandments. That's the beginning of the dooms, the common law. And then he puts in the laws of Moses and the golden rule of Christ and other biblical principles from the Sermon on the Mount. Alfred succeeded in instilling such a great respect for law and order in the kingdom that it was said that a stranger, a traveler, might hang a valuable jewel on a bush by the roadside and no one would dare touch it. But he's also famous for winning the Vikings to Christ. In fact, the original Hammonds were Vikings, and so in one sense I can look at King Alfred as the enemy of my forefathers, but I cannot really, because he was really our godfather. He was the one who brought our ancestors to the Lord. Through virtue and valor, through tactics and tenacity, King Alfred fought the Viking invaders to a standstill, and then he worked to bring them to Christ. Winston Churchill marveled that Alfred should have wished to convert these savage foes. This sublime power to rise above the whole force of circumstances, to remain unbiased by the extremes of victory or defeat, to persevere in the teeth of disaster, to greet returning fortune with a cool eye, to have faith in men, even after repeated betrayals, raises Alfred far above the turmoil of barbaric wars to his pinnacle of deathless victory. That you get in the history of the English-speaking peoples. King Alfred